Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
It's going to be another reality review today with Sean Pendergast. We'll talk about Hard Knocks. We'll talk about Very Cavallari. Tomorrow, I start my weekly appearances with Michael Lombardi, or I should say Michael Lombardi starts his weekly appearances with the Deceptively Fat podcast. So I was deceptively fast, not deceptively fat. That was a Freudian slip about me.
Yeah, if it was just a fad, that would be a bad thing.
Yeah, so
it lasts a long time.
Sean, I feel like we might be watching one of the great Hard Knocks episodes or series. What are we, installments this year with the Cleveland Browns? Just in that, I feel like we might actually see a coach get fired before the end of Hard Knocks.
Yeah, this has been pretty good so far.
This has been so much.
Yeah.
It's so much Greg Williams, so much Todd Haley, the coordinators, and then Hugh Jackson, who's on, at least theoretically, should be the hottest of hot seats with two egomaniacal pricks working for him. And I feel like it's just a matter of time until everything explodes here.
And he's surrounded by ego because it's not just the two guys he has working for him who theoretically are his choices, right? Like,
yeah,
he gets to hire his staff. And if I were a coach who was trying to keep my job, well, if I were a coach trying to keep my job, I'd try to hire the best guys available. But, man, yeah, two total alphas underneath him. And then Dorsey above him is not exactly a guy who I think Hugh Jackson's going to be able to manipulate or push around. Like, I feel like Hugh Jackson is kind of cornered at this point.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's how it feels.
And there's only so much he can do. He's sitting there preaching about culture change and everything. And it's so hard to watch because I think you and I have covered this already, but I just don't know what you do when you're already in the position he's in where he hasn't won for 2 years and he's just lost in humiliating fashion and just been completely pathetic as a football team that somehow now you're supposed to change the culture. We've talked about this already.
Yeah.
I don't know what to do other than that, like, Corey Coleman's a mess, and Corey Coleman ends up getting traded in this installment. In this episode. And Corey Coleman, so everybody remembers, is who the Browns chose instead of Carson Wentz.
Mm-hmm.
And with, I don't know if it was with the blessing of Hugh Jackson, but it was all part of Hugh Jackson being here. And now you get traded for a 2020 seventh round pick.
To Buffalo. Yeah, like that. I felt like that was the best way to honor his wishes by the Browns.
Uh-huh.
Because he walked in at the beginning of the show, and Corey Coleman was just taken aback that he was running with the twos. He went in there. I give him credit for going in and, like, approaching the coach about it if he's concerned about it. You know, from that standpoint, like, okay, well, this guy, he obviously cares. He's just not very good at football. But he has no self-awareness. Like, dude.
Oh, no self-awareness at all.
He should be lucky to be running with the twos.
Exactly. Well, and here, we'll play this clip of exactly how it was going for Corey Coleman, where somehow, even after all of this, he still doesn't understand why he's running with the twos.
Come on, Corey. Get some shoes that work. Stay off the ground.
Details, Corey. You gotta gain trust. If he doesn't think you don't know what to do, it's gonna be a hard time gaining that trust. It happens all the time.
Come on, Corey. Run, Corey. Go get it. Ah. Come up with that, Corey.
Damn.
That's you against him. Come up with that ball. Pride yourself in it. Come on, Corey!
In the red zone, making a final error. Giving up on a inside. It's in your chest.
It's written in my chest.
That's about what it's been. Yeah, until you show me otherwise, I'll get excited. Right now, I'm not.
I think he looks around. He's distracted. Doesn't run. One of the goals, he looked like he was running 5 miles an hour.
And there you have it. So that's Todd Haley.
Yeah.
Steadily getting more and more frustrated with Corey Coleman.
Yeah. Okay, Todd Haley, lay off the guys who run 5 miles an hour, okay? 5 miles an hour sounds pretty
five,
fast.
5 miles an hour, you know, at a mile pace, you know. It's a 12-minute mile.
That's, you know, a lot of us out there trying to grind on that 5-minute mile, Todd Haley.
Corey Coleman is a fast-twitch athlete, so actually for him to run 5 miles an hour might require more effort. You know, like Earl Campbell couldn't run the mile because he was so fast-twitch.
Great point, Seth. It's a great point. Yeah, here's my thing with Corey Coleman. Like, a red flag for me for a player would be like, how many pairs of shoes do they own that they don't ever wear?
And should it be 1,000 or less? Should it be less than 1,000?
And for those who didn't see it, that was the first scene of Hard Knocks this week was Corey Coleman's closet. And just he was marveling at the shoes he was able to buy and just fascinated by how few shoes he was able to wear. And I'm watching this. I'm going, oh, my God, this – that would be one of my questions at the combine for guys. How many pairs of shoes do you own?
And like some expensive shoes too.
Do you want to own? Yeah.
So Corey Coleman, you almost have to get him out of there because he's become the emblem of everything that's been wrong with the Browns organization.
Totally, totally. And like, I love that they send him to Buffalo. Buffalo is like the Night's Watch of the NFL. Like, you know, they banish guys in Game of Thrones to the Night's Watch.
You're going to go down and eventually you'll learn how to run routes to have Josh Allen overthrow you
that's
on those
exactly
routes.
Right.
It'll be like maybe those two will connect because Josh Allen will errantly throw it to the wrong place, which is where Corey Coleman will be in the wrong place.
He's always there. Yeah, absolutely.
If I had to do power rankings, I'm going to start with the kid that when I first saw him in the first half of Hard Knocks, I didn't think I was going to like at all. But then as I got to know the relationship between him and his father, Devin Kajust.
Yeah.
Devin Kajust, the tight end who is like playing injured. His father has had congestive heart failure or whatever it's been. What was it?
He just had his third heart attack.
He's had
three heart attacks, a stroke, and like two or three other things that have happened to him. And the funny thing is the guy looks like he's in amazing shape.
I know. I hope I'm his. I don't know. He might be our age. I guess he is. We're getting old. Devin Kajust could be our son.
He could be.
I mean, except that I'm always on the lookout, and I'm on record as saying this. Hard Knocks producers, for whatever reason, love a white guy with long hair. If they see a long-haired white guy, it's like a siren for them. They have to go to him, and I think they think, like, oh, he's going to have personality, be artsy. Devin Kajust, I don't know. I don't know what his racial background is, but he does have long hair.
I think he did go to Stanford.
Yeah.
Because I remember him tearing the ass out of Notre Dame in a game one year, and that stuck with me. But that's all I really know about him. But yeah, his dad looks like he's in amazing shape, but he's falling apart at the seams. That was a tug at the heartstrings kind of story with Devin Kajust.
And you want him to make the squad.
Yes.
That's the big thing. You see him playing through this shoulder injury. He's got lots of grunting going on. One thing, kids, if you're listening, one thing I learned early on in life, lots of grunting and facial straining, and coaches will look at you. And no matter how bad you're, like, sucking at something, they're like, that kid really works. That kid grinds. He's tough.
George Costanza always told us that. If you just sit at your desk and you look frustrated and shuffle papers around.
That's right. Yeah, just make it look.
People will think that you're working really, really hard if you have that look on your face. Here's one thing, as long as we're on Kajust, that I don't need again in Hard Knocks. I don't need a dude mic'd up who just got his rib cage caved in. Like the sounds that Devin, you can probably
tolerate. That's right. No, it,
you
I
probably
can't.
Made,
it
you
was prob- worse.
See, I figured you probably made those noises before after some dude came in and got underneath your rib cage. I'm listening to him. I mean, like when he's mic'd up, you can practically hear the cartilage in his rib cage, like brushing up against his lung. I'm like, oh,
that is where
they
put the mics on the shoulder pads too.
It was tough to listen to.
So that probably is exactly why that sounded so nasty.
And then he was playing with a bum shoulder and he made a few catches.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's a pretty tough kid.
I think they picked a good one there. I don't think he makes the team, but I think he's that gritty and everything, and you want to see him do well. Maybe he pops up somewhere else.
Yeah.
The other prospective interim head coach for the Browns, other than Todd Haley, is one Greg Williams. Greg Williams appeared acting a whole lot like Greg Williams.
Okay, can you – first of all, Haley's been a head coach before. To my knowledge, Greg Williams has not been a head coach, has
right.
he? I'm pretty sure he hasn't been. Greg Williams as a head coach is something I need to see. I need that in my life. I need to know – Greg Williams as a head coach of a bad team. Like, I'm bracing myself for Mike Vrabel as a head coach, but Vrabel's not as unhinged as Greg Williams. But I think he's a little unhinged.
Right.
I think he's going to have a tough time handling losing if the Titans lose. But Williams as a head coach is something. Forget about head coach. I need Hard Knocks to follow Williams home. I need to see Greg Williams.
He's a kitten. I'm sure he's a kitten. Yeah, he's so tough with other men's bodies.
Yeah, see,
like when he's in a position of power, he's all tough. Like I don't know if Greg Williams ever been in a fight in his life.
No, but
you look like he come up. He's so doughy. You could put him into a chokehold, and he'd probably call you sir for the rest of his life.
You think? Because I feel like Greg Williams, like if he got done wrong at like an HOA meeting or something like that.
Yeah.
Like if one of his neighbors got on him for leaving his garbage cans out.
Oh,
an
you
extra
think
day?
He'd go Concrete Charlie on him? Like Chuck Bednarik. Chuck Bednarik got arrested for like almost choking somebody to death at the age of 70.
I mean, with this, the only thing we have to work off of is what I've seen on Hard Knocks. And as I'm watching it, I'm like, God, what would Greg Williams be like if they undercooked his steak or something like that?
This is Greg Williams last night.
Hey, get your ass in at halftime and get seated. You're on defense. Get the f*** over here. We're walking around. Get to the f***ing huddle. When you don't get in and out of the huddle, when you don't substitute, when you don't communicate, when you don't fight, you don't belong. And I don't care what athletic ability you have. Young guys, this is not college football anymore.
All right, so there is at halftime, obviously. I actually kind of like Greg Williams in this one because when he was yelling and screaming, he was at least just yelling and screaming about effort, which I feel is always – that's always been the acceptable spot for me to really flip out is when guys aren't giving effort.
Yeah.
I've always loved coaches that will be by your side and support you as long as you're trying and busting your butt. But if you don't bust your butt, there's hell to pay. The problem is with Greg Williams, you know, that it goes way beyond all that.
Yeah, no, he's clinically insane. How do you reconcile this whole culture change thing and the Antonio Callaway part of this whole story? You know, because you hear Greg Williams in there and he's on the ass, the collective ass of the defense. Todd Haley can't say a nice thing about anybody out there when he's coaching the offense or coaching anybody. He doesn't even like the names of the guys on the team. He's like, oh, the name Carl for Carl Nassib, like Todd Haley. And then you've got Hugh Jackson and John Dorsey sitting there. Like, I was waiting for this Callaway scene, not only because he was stupid in being out at 3 a.m. and having weed in his car or whatever, but he didn't tell them. Like, he didn't proactively tell them.
I honestly, as much of a jackass as Antonio Callaway is and as much as he's made his own bed, he's got that sweet face. Like, where he looks like a child. He's got those innocent eyes.
Very likable.
And that's why I'm, like, at times a pushover as a dad. I'm a complete sucker for the puppy dog eyes. So you're watching him, and you see how heavy his conscience is. Like, you see all of that is weighing on him. He's probably only gotten 2 hours of sleep. And that right there is where I felt like Todd Haley made his best case for, like, all right, this guy's got a little bit more depth to him than what I thought. Because you could see Haley was kind of being a hard ass to him, and then realized halfway through that, oh, there's something more going on here. And he tried to get it out of him in not like a jerk way or anything. I think he was actually trying to talk to him like a human being.
Well, he's clearly a player that they care about because of the way they handled this thing.
Because they only have four healthy wide receivers.
Well, and he's played pretty well in camp, and we saw him score a touchdown in that game against the Giants. And so they're kind of handling him with kid's glove. And the other thing that we saw with Haley with respect to Callaway, the fact that you can see they really – are invested in this kid is Haley going up to Jarvis Landry to encourage him to take Callaway under his wing, which Jarvis Landry looks like he wants no part.
No, I know. Jarvis Landry, who wants to be – I'm glad you brought that up. He wants to be the leader in everything.
Right.
But you're right. He showed no interest in actually having Corey Coleman move in with – or excuse me, Antonio Callaway move in with him.
Yeah, like it's one thing like Jarvis Landry – the sense I get two episodes in about Jarvis Landry is like – okay, I'll get up in front of the team and yell and scream and MF them, and because this will only take about 3 or 4 minutes to
do.
But boy, this thing about taking Antonio Callaway under my wing, he's like
I don't
Steve,
know,
he's
but
like he's like Steve Stifler in American Pie, like talking to girls. That sounds like a lot of work, you know. Like taking him under my wing sounds like a lot of work.
And I don't know if Jarvis Landry is married. But, like,
he is.
So, in
well,
his mind,
he's got his girlfriend. Remember, they're
building
the house.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. So, he's thinking, like, I got to come home and explain to her, like, listen, he smokes a lot of weed. So,
right. He's going to be hanging out at the house a lot.
We'll make him go out back, okay?
And then the way Haley kind of tried to, did you see what he did where he said to Landry, just after Landry kind of like sheepishly was like, okay, coach, about taking Callaway under his wing? He's like, this is what Larry Fitzgerald would do.
Yeah.
You know, like he gave him that whole thing.
Right. Like he's like, he said Larry Fitzgerald would do it. Yeah. If you want to be a leader.
If you want to be great.
If you want to go ahead and take a Michael Floyd in. If you want to talk about, so speaking of my Notre Dame people.
Yes, exactly.
Take in your Michael Floyd. You brought up that Todd Haley making fun of names. I need to listen to this one more time because I'm still not exactly certain exactly what the jab was. Let's listen to this.
I'm like, oh, let's name him Carl. Look at this baby. Let's name him Carl. Oh, Gucci, Gucci, good, Carl. How do you, like, it seems like you'd only get that name, like, later in life.
Carl? Carl, where is all this animosity for the name Carl coming from? I don't, for the life of me, I don't think any baby looks like the name they should. They should be called Coochie Coochie Coo if you're going to give them a name that fits their appearance. Like, nobody, of course, nobody looks like a Carl or a Jim or a Seth or a Sean. What is this with Carl?
Yeah, I don't understand. I feel like it's kind of personal animosity towards Carl Nassib.
Like a Carl might have done something to him.
I know. And it's not like, what, if like Todd.
How do you name a priest Carl?
Well, and he's acting like Todd. What, is Todd the most badass name of all time, too? Like, be careful where you throw those stones, man.
My parents fought long and hard to come up with the name Todd. Do you know how hard it is to come up with Todd?
Yeah.
Originally, they had me pegged as an Anthony, but they saw me in my crib and they thought, nope, Todd.
To me, there's zero doubt that Todd Haley was like a bully back in elementary school.
Just
like,
making fun of kids' names
and
everything.
Yeah, if you're making fun of someone's name as an adult, like that's not something you evolve into, you know? Yeah. What I mean, like, that's something that you are, that's something you evolve out of over time.
Landry Locker was telling us the story about how Todd Haley and his wife won a $1 million lawsuit because they'd found a rat in their salad at a restaurant.
Really?
I have not fact checked this, but Landry told me, Landry's usually pretty careful about this stuff and follows this kind of stuff. I don't know what to make of that. I feel like I need to say it. I have no idea what to make of it. I guess if I found a rat in my salad, would I go after the chain that did it? What I always think is, look, this is some teenager that screwed up somewhere. I feel like I should tell the manager, but it's not like the CEO of the restaurant or anything is so lax that people are leaving rats around in salads all over the place.
No, but I feel like the older I've gotten, the more likely I would be to sue. As I get older and I see all these people that have made money off of all these lawsuits,
yeah,
these faceless corporations.
And you feel like I should get some of mine.
A little bit, man. Like a rat in my salad. It's kind of a traumatic thing.
That's a really traumatic thing. I don't think I'd ever be able to eat.
Was it a dead rat or a live rat?
I don't know. Can I tell you I would prefer the live rat? Because at least it would run out or something. Yeah. You wouldn't bite into it.
Yeah.
I was eating an apple in the dark a couple days ago. Sounds depressing, I know. But I didn't want to. I was up early in the morning. I didn't want to turn the lights out. And I went out to my car. I opened the door, sat down, and the dome lights on. I looked down, and it was like I'd eaten half of something that had been eaten away.
Oh.
Like, it was like inside, it was all eaten away.
Oh.
And there was no worm to be seen.
Yeah.
So I don't know if I ate the worm or what, and I'm still kind of freaked out by that.
Apples, on the list of fruits that after they kind of start to go bad a little bit, they're really nasty. Apples near the top of the list. Because it starts to change in taste a little bit.
All in all, a very good episode. I don't want to beat this to death because you have a show to prepare for.
It's okay.
Very cavalry. I think you and I are both on the same page. There's less and less Jay Cutler and less interest for me as I see less and less Jay Cutler.
The only Jay Cutler we got this week was him taking his wife on a day date.
Walking the dogs to a farm and him trying to chase a chicken.
Yeah.
That's all we saw was him trying to chase, which is hard to do. Don't judge Jay Cutler harshly for not being able to catch a chicken. It's
Rocky
difficult.
Rocky Balboa couldn't catch a chicken.
No,
they're Rocky too.
Well, you see the woman at the end when she actually snatches it. You kind of violently snatch it.
Yeah, she's done that before. That's not her first chicken chasing.
The one thing I was impressed with Very Cavalieri this week, aside from the fact that this kid Worth continues to show that he's only on this show because it's good publicity for him, there's no way the kid that has his family's private jet and a house in Pensacola or wherever it was on the Gulf Coast is working retail.
And he's got the long – he's the Devin Cajuste of Very Cavalieri.
He exactly is,
hair.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought it was a solid move by him just when I was really starting to hate him because he discloses – they're supposed to go around and say something they're embarrassed about that they don't tell a lot of people. And he went the ultimate meathead, said, you know, I've always been kind of insecure about my small legs.
Even Shannon, who like is the ultimate Worth sycophant. Was like, ew.
This is a turn off. This is a guy who's totally into himself.
Yes.
Because it would be one thing if it was a normal guy saying it, but Worth is like got a physique that people. He's a good looking guy.
He's running on you know, the beach.
It is. It's like a model, a female model saying, like, oh, you know, I actually hardly ever eat. Oh, no. Oh, no. Please don't tempt me with that cheeseburger.
Yeah, no.
Like, nobody wants to hear it.
No.
So like, nobody wants to hear it out of Worth. But at the very end, Shannon's boyfriend shows up, John and then Brittany's boyfriend John show up. Spoiler alert, if anybody's still watching this show, which is we're doing it out of duty.
We may be doing this podcast just for us right now.
And at first, I'm like, what the hell's going on here? Okay, the producers set this up or something. But Worth, who is kind of in an awkward spot because everybody's speculating that Shannon likes Worth,
right,
and John, her boyfriend, is none too happy about it. Worth actually called the boyfriends and said, hey, you should surprise these guys at the end of this trip. That's about as smart a move as you can pull off by Worth.
To me, it's a lock that Worth is going to drop the hammer on Shannon now. Like, he's sucking him. Keep your friends close and your enemies closer.
Drop the hammer as in... just going for it? Yeah. Oh, so then he turns out to be the ultimate jerk.
Yes, I think he's doing it to throw him off of the scent. John rightfully had his guard up and was really jealous early in the season. And now I feel like Worth is kind of like, you know, like John's going to have his guard down now. Like, Worth's a pretty good guy. He invited us to the house and everything else.
I wonder. I find it very unlikely that Shannon didn't hop into bed with Worth after the cameras were off.
I feel like it might have happened.
I just think at some point on that trip to Destin, is that where they were?
Destin. Yeah. In which case, this is a good way to throw John off the scent of that.
Right. Like, to be like, hey, bro, look, hey, everything's
doing anything,
cool.
Man, bro,
I got my girlfriend and everything.
Yeah, I invited you here, bro.
I wear blazers out to beach bars in Destin, Florida.
Right,
that irked me. I don't know if you noticed, he was wearing a sports coat out at this like little dive beach bar in Destin. That bothered me with Worth.
The other John that's with Brittany way outkicked his coverage.
Yeah, he doesn't even realize it.
No.
He's sitting there talking down to Brittany. Like Brittany, who seemingly could have like her pick of whichever guy he wanted. Like, she's an attractive woman. She's going
hot.
Places.
Yeah.
She's really
focused.
Smart and everything. And he kind of sits around and tells her she's stupid or she doesn't know what she's talking about.
And he's an ugly, ugly person.
Yeah.
He's not a good looking man.
He must be really talented.
Or have a gigantic penis.
That's true.
He must have a huge penis.
Well, we'll try to figure that out next.
Yeah.
We have to start. Let's Google John from Very Cavallari's
John Stone
bulge.
Is his name, I believe.
John Stone?
John Stone, which sounds like somebody who
like
would have
John
a big
Snow.
Penis.
Well, it sounds like John Snow. I got intrigued, like some Game of Thrones action.
It sounds like a porn name.
All right, man. I'm excited about Hard Knocks. Again, I eagerly await Hugh Jackson being fired before the completion of Hard Knocks.
And I eagerly await the appearance of Dez Bryant in the next episode.
Oh,
he's coming in for a workout this Thursday.
Oh, how about the director of player signings, whoever that front office type was, he was talking to John Dorsey, and he looked terrified to be talking to John Dorsey.
Well, and he was handing him the list of wide receivers like he was handing him his fantasy list.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Like, and Dorsey's like, oh, see, I got Dez. Where's Dez on this list? I don't even see him.
He's
29.
He looked like a Cub reporter in the 1930s, like handing over his first story to the editor. Like, the editor with a big cigar, be like, what the hell is this trash?
Yeah.
I'm going to teach you how to write up here. Yeah. He looked petrified.
He did. But I think he got the sense that Dorsey – I think Dorsey likes Dez Bryant. I think they're going to sign Dez Bryant.
Uh-huh.
And you could tell that the little analytics dude that was handing him the list was nervous about having Dez Bryant so far down the list.
Oh, is that what it was?
That's what it felt like.
That might
like.
Be.
He's
like he was afraid. Like, that was his opinion. He had Dez Bryant at the bottom. Oh, because the kid said – well, he's 30 years old, and John Dorsey very quickly corrected him, 29.
Yeah.
So
I feel like there may be some of that. So I'm anxious to see that. I feel like dropping Dez in the middle of this season, like this is a pretty good season so far, and you drop somebody like Dez Bryant, that's like dropping Mike Tyson like into the middle of like season 3 of The Office.
Oh, especially if you get him to flip out on the sideline.
Right.
If he yells at Baker Mayfield or something.
It's been a good season so far. This will not take down the quality of it. Like, adding Dez Bryant in will take up the compelling – I don't know how good he's going to be at football, but I think he's going to be an amazing Hard Knocks character.
If this goes well, if this continues to be a good season, then I think they almost have to try to go to the worst team every year.
Yeah.
Because there's invariably more drama on the worst teams because they don't have things under control.
And most of the time, unless that team made the playoffs the year before, you can tell them – hey, unless they hired a new coach.
Yeah.
You can tell them they have to do it. You know, they've got rules.
Right,
the teams
right.
That you can tell that the NFL and
they
HBO
can force you to do it.
Force you to do it unless you fit certain criteria. And the worst team in the league, unless they're hiring a new coach, is often, more often than not, going to fit that criteria.
Worst team in the league or coach that's on the hottest of hot seats.
Yeah.
Because then you're going to get all the pressure and the, at times, incompetence.
Yeah, I don't need to see, like, Hard Knocks Minnesota Vikings. No. Like, oh, look at this, yeah. Look at this really good, fully functional psychologically team.
Right. Well, yeah. That's what we used to say, that the worst reality show ever would be Mike Trout and J.J. Watt. Like, if they were roommates,
yeah.
You'd think like, oh, wow, awesome, right? Like, no, they'd be like, hey, what do you want to do today, buddy? Go work out?
Right.
All right, awesome.
Yes, it'd be like periscoping their workouts.
Yeah, exactly. It'd be like, that would be cool. But after that, if you're not into the workouts,
right.
It's like, oh, here's two guys who do everything right all the time.
Yeah, let's go get some green tea and some kale for lunch.
Oh, okay. I thought you were inviting me. I got excited. Fine.
Did you? Oh, you
no
wanted,
green
you
tea
wanted
or kale
for
me?
Green tea,
yeah.
Kale. Right. Someday, Seth.
Thanks, buddy. I'll catch up with you next week.
It sounds good, man. Thank you.
Okay. Picture this: it's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.